All right. Thank you all for coming. Thank you for joining us online. Excited about this reboot. We're going into a conversation about healthy. Financial health. Praise God for that. But first, we have something important. I'm going to walk you guys over here. Anyone wonder what these are? We bought everyone a brand new pair of shoes, so before you leave, come over and just take a box. No. This is a Samaritan's Purse. Joyce Boisel has done this for many years, and it's just the heart behind it is special. She was going through a brochure in the back with me on some of the stories. These boxes are packed, and it's amazing how a certain box goes to a certain person. It's like God let him there himself. Young man just needed a pair of shoes in the worst way, so he opens up this box, and there's a pair of shoes in there that fit him. God just is doing amazing things, and so Joyce, along with I think many help from many others, have packed all these boxes. We counted them. She goes, "It'd be neat to reach 200," and we just counted 205 boxes that we have. And so you say, and I'm always asking, "Hey, where are these going?" And she says, "All over the world." And so, in one of the pictures Joyce is showing me in this brochure, it's got a map, and it shows how they go from here to here all over the world. But there is that one picture, and you'll have to go back and just say, "Joyce, show me this." These boxes are strapped to camels, and they're going through the desert. I mean, these boxes are traveling in places that they probably shouldn't be able to go. But God has seen fit just to bless children and bless families with free gifts. And they know that this is coming from people who love God and serve this man called Jesus Christ. So what an opportunity that we have just to partner with this and watch these boxes be sent overseas to get to the right places at the right time. And what you're looking at here is just love. Selfless hearts, people who care enough to think beyond themselves about others, and how beautiful is that? So what we want to do is just join together. There is power in prayer. Where two or more gather together, there he is in the midst. And just pray over these boxes that they will get where they need to go. They will bless the people that they were planned to bless, and that people will know about the love of Jesus Christ through the heart and love of others. Amen? So God, right now, I pray over these. Whatever plan that someone else may have for them, I pray that that will not happen. Even if these boxes got in the wrong hands, may they bless them, and then somehow the power of Jesus comes over them. But dear God, for these children that just need to know that there's something more, may you prepare them for what they're about to receive. May something as simple as maybe even a pair of shoes or a belt mean so much more, that there are people who care. Who are these people? What kind of people are they? And then may they be led to Jesus Christ. Jesus, you care so much. You gave your everything for us. You laid down your life. You laid down your any plans you may have, any selfish desires that may have crept in. You just laid them down because you loved us. So may that heart be in each one of these boxes as these kids receive these gifts. May they just know that they are loved, and there's a Jesus who knows them by name, who has a plan for them, and has a future for them. We pray all this in your name, dear God. Everyone says, amen. Amen. I just love that heart. Thank you, Joyce, and everyone that helped with that. Jesus travels in ways that we could never imagine sometimes. It's so cool just to hear some of the stories of what God's done through those boxes. All right, this is just I need to use the internet today, so I don't usually have my phone up here, but I pray that it'll work. Financial health. We've been talking about reboot, leading healthy lives, and finances is a part of that. We're going to spend 2 weeks on that. And you might think, today I'm going to talk about budgeting and numbers, and actually God put something very different in my heart. And it has to do, I think, with the very base of our hearts when it comes to financial health. I looked up some things. Finances can be very dangerous. I looked up the 5 leading causes to divorce, and guess what was number 4? Finances. Infidelity, lack of intimacy, communication, money, and then addiction. So you're thinking, man, why? How could that be so powerful? There was a, I'm going to read a little study here. Gives us a little bit of light. This is, it's called Depth Punch is where I got this from. The truth about why Americans have too much debt. And they just name a few things. I want to read to you real quick. Keeping up appearances. Anyone spend money just to look good or drive something that looks good or be next to somebody that looks good? Or so you might think, oh, that's shallow. That's just human. Who did something to your appearance before you came here this morning? None of you. Well, you guys look pretty good for rolling out of bed. But and that's not to say that everything we name is bad. Oh, don't take care of yourself. That's against the Bible. That's not it at all. But how do we get in this financial strife that would cause us to actually lose relationships over? That's what we want to concentrate on. So keeping up appearances. Why do we have all this debt that we don't know how to pay off? One of the biggest reasons is appearances. In a world where every move is documented on Instagram, it's easy for your public image to become the most important thing regardless of your actual financial status. Another thing is unwilling to sacrifice. Once you've got debt, getting out of debt is hard. It means sacrificing things you love. Vacations, trips to the movies, or going out to eat, a new outfit, and a new car, maybe a new cell phone. Sometimes it means telling your kids they can't participate in some extracurricular activities or that they can't get the pet that they wanted so badly because it's simply too expensive. So are we willing to sacrifice when it comes to realizing, hey, we just don't have this right now? Stuff addiction. Anybody addicted to stuff? I like the way they put that because sometimes when you think of money, well, money buys you what? Stuff. The other major fallacy in American spending habits is that the idea we have to have certain items. We need a new outfit for our new job. We need a kitchen appliance, a new toy for our child, a new TV to host the Super Bowl party. We are addicted to stuff, and the truth is that it's crushing us. Spousal communication issues. How many times have you come home to discover your partner has spent money on something without talking to you about it? You're in trouble, Tiff. In the case of smaller items, additional grocery items, or small hobby purchases, this may not be a big deal. But say your partner comes home with a new big flat screen that can wreck your debt plans for years. Impulse buying. One of the biggest threats to a budget is the impulse buying phenomenon. We're in a line at the grocery store and our child sees a candy bar or we find a little extra doodad that we want. Sometimes we have a bad day and we decide we're going to splurge on a purpose we've been wanting just simply to make ourselves feel better. And then credit cards. On the subject of credit cards, these are one of the biggest reasons Americans are in debt. Many of us think there are good reasons to have credit cards, apart from being able to spend money that we don't have. They help us build our credit, we say, and they're good to have around in case of a rainy day. But the truth is, if we have credit cards, we're spending money on them. There are other ways to build good credit. Well, they go into that. But the point is, a credit card at times can be used to spend money that you don't have. And credit card companies, they're a company, they're a business, and so they have to charge you interest to make money. So a lot of that is, when I read all these things, why? Why do we have to have stuff? Why do we get ourselves in debt? Why are we spending money that we don't have? Why has this become so important to a society that even when you look at us from a government status, we don't know how to budget our money? It's a big deal. And so to understand that spiritually, there are some pretty phenomenal verses of importance. And that's, I just want to spend some time on that. Because as I was reading through this, and it said one comment in there about you might be up. They get you. You go up to the register, and what's always right there? Just the little stuff. The Debbie cakes that are on sale at Menards for $1.97. You can't turn down Debbie cakes for $1.97. I just find that hard. But they get you up there. And then maybe you have a little kid who wants a candy bar. And what do the kids do when they don't get what they want? Hey, we're in a candy bar. Next thing you know, he's getting loud. And you're like, hey, you know, so what do? To what? To shut him up. So what's this child learning as he gets older? I whine, I get what? So now, you're 20 years old in a job, the boss isn't doing what you want him to do. What do you do to your boss? You start whining and crying. If not, you call. I mean, see, all this, these little things, and I know that goes into another subject, but just these little money buys and these things, that they actually have consequences if we do them in an unhealthy manner. So I want to start off with what this is all about. Are you ready? Are you ready? All right, let's go. True godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. Why do we struggle so badly with contentment? Contentment is the art, basically, of being happy in your current situation. And so a lot of what happens, it gets us into these situations of financially being, and you may be out there, you have money to burn. This is still, it's not about being broke and learning how to be content. It's, you could be a millionaire, but you're searching for this contentment, for this happiness and stuff and items and maybe even people. And it's very unhealthy when you're not grounded in where you're at in the love of Jesus Christ. So contentment has nothing to do with being rich or poor. It's being happy where you are. And how do we find that happiness? Some of us are just, it's sometimes maybe all of us are searching for it in the world on what they have to offer us. You ever bought something that you just really, 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 really wanted and you finally bought it? Anybody? I have. Were you happy the rest of your life? Anybody in the gaming out there? I'm not really, but I've watched it, a lot of friends. And they will wait in line for hours to get this game. And then they get the game and they play it for like 80 hours straight. The next thing you know, you're bored to death with this game because it was just temporary. That contentment didn't last very long. So true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. Listen to this. Kind of the dangers. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world. And we can't take anything with us when we leave it. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. So who would say, you know what, I have enough? Is it a sin to want more? You know, it's not. I don't want to confuse anyone here. What we're trying to get at is, where do you find your satisfaction? Where do you find your true joy? Where do you find your happiness? That needs to be grounded in the love of Jesus Christ and who you are, who He's made you to be, the gifts that you have, how you're attempting to use those, and how you're attempting to live your life for Him. See, if that's solid, yeah, we're going to buy stuff and enjoy things and all that, but those things out there, the area that's just eating our finances, it doesn't give us the sense of who we are. We know who we are through the relationship that we have, the living, breathing relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not set on what I own and what I need to buy, because that's set this horrible standard in our world where when you're buying all these things and you're trying to put happiness in your life and you find out it's not working, now you're not happy and you're broke. And in many different family situations, that creates other problems. It's not really sexy to pay a heating bill. Probably a lot more fun to go buy a car. But if that heating bill doesn't get paid, what happens? You're chilly. I mean, there's issues when it comes to, we set ourselves up to just the things that we know that we need versus what we. Matter of fact, I wrote something down here. It's the ability of having what you need and also being happy with what you have. I love that. So listen to this. It's a little dangerous here about what can happen if this relationship with God isn't reaching our contentment and we move on. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. What does plunge mean? Man, just pushes you up into the deep end, and now you are just submerged and completely drenched. One more time. People who long, so they're longing for something, and there's a lot of little forks in this road. When you're longing for something, you're searching for this happiness through ways that you won't find contentment. But who are you focusing on? We begin to turn our eyes on ourselves. I need this so I can feel this way. And what's the heart of Jesus Christ? Did he come down here in any way, shape, or form focus on himself? No. So people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love, did you catch that? I know we've pinpointed this in the past. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Money of itself, nothing bad about it, because it's, you can use it to purchase, you can use it to bless people, you can use it to take care of yourself. But when you love that money, you're loving what you think that money can get you. That's when we get into dire straits financially, and it begins to affect the relationships of people around you. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and some people craving money, listen to this, have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. We have to grab a hold of this one. It is so powerful when your love has gone from your Creator, not that you don't love God anymore, but he's kind of, and you've placed these desires to find your happiness and find your commitment. When God has been replaced, it begins to do something to your mind, and it begins to affect your heart. And your vision is no longer after living for this Creator that loves you, that has created you for all these wonderful reasons so that you can use your life now just to bless others and show them Christ. You now replace them to now we're living in a way that we're just trying to bless ourselves and reach our happiness. And when we get there, when we're content, when we're happy, then we'll be in a better mood for everyone else. So let's take care of us first. Some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. So, what do we do? After service, I tell you what, let's open up the altars. Everyone comes up. Facebook, get in your cars. This is important. Drive up here, and we're just going to pray for you that contentment just lays on you, and you'll be happy with what you have. Amen? Is that how it works? If I just walked up and said, Ian, just be content, okay? Sure. We're good. Be content. You are dismissed. It just simply doesn't work that way. We have to have a base. Like last week, we have to have a foundation. So listen to this. This is Paul speaking to the church in Philippi. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned. What's that word? Was it instantaneous? You ever learned anything? What's involved in learning? Effort, trial, error, you know, second, third, fourth, fifth chances to learn something, it takes a bit. We have a brand new mechanic, and they stuck him with me this week, and we did not have a good week at the dairy. And I'm in machinery, I'm going into computer systems, I'm changing timing, and I'm watching this guy's eyes, and I said, just stay with me. Don't expect you to get it the first time. But there's a start, there's an act, there's a process in learning. For I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. This is great. I want to be this way. Okay, Paul, how do you do this? I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation. Fantastic. What's the secret? I want to know that secret. Whether it is on a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. And here it is. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. That's the foundation. That's our happiness. That's our contentment. Realizing who you are in Jesus. You are a child of God, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are redeemed. He is holding a place for you in heaven. Simply, if you say, Lord God, I realize now that you are my Savior, I want to live for you. That kind of, in a way, I know we have issues, I know we have problems, I know we have worries, but if that is your foundation, man, who can take that away from you? What situation is going to take that out of your mind? That is so powerful, that relationship. And that's where Paul found his contentment. Paul was a Pharisee. He was wealthy. He had it all. And then when he walked away from that and said, hey, Jesus Christ is the Savior, they dumped him and he had nothing. And he was basically a prisoner eating scraps on the ground. But he never lost his contentment because he never lost his joy for the Lord. He never lost the focus of who Jesus is and why Paul's been put in that place. That is what gave him his contentment. He didn't need stuff to make him feel a certain way. That relationship, that foundation, that core of beliefs is what will keep us content. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Matthew 5:6, short verse, but it says a lot. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. So this is the key. This verse to me brings all of this home. To hunger and thirst for righteousness. Who has ever, maybe you remember a time in your life when you were just, I mean, we say it all the time. We go without a meal or it's like been 3 hours since we eaten. Man, I am starving. But who really would say, no, there was a time in my life, or maybe for me, it's probably, I can think of more stories where just the thirst. I was just so thirsty. We played tennis when I was a kid. We were at Lincoln playing tennis, me and my cousin. Why did I remember playing tennis with my cousin? It was afterwards. We went to Quick Trip and got the biggest thing that they had, with the straw this long. And to this day, I remember that drink because I had probably not drank enough before I played tennis. We'd sweat like pigs, and I wanted that drink so bad. I just couldn't wait to get in there and just suck it down. I thirsted for that because I know I needed liquid. So think about this. When we hunger and we thirst for what God has for us, it's kind of a ladder. If you back down to what I said a couple weeks ago, even last week, love your God. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love others as yourself. When you hunger and thirst for what God has given you, for your Creator, that love comes over you, and it's not so much anymore about what you need to be happy. Your concern for others branches out, and it takes away a lot of that selfish desire. We're still human. We still have wants. If you come to my house, you'll see some things. I mean, I don't need 5 tractors. I really don't. But they don't have me in financial debt either. But there are things there you can spend and you can enjoy. But it's more about the heart. Because like I said, you could be wealthy and not content, not happy, and not using your life to show other people God. And money isn't doing it for you. Instead, it has the adverse effect and it damages you and it damages relationships. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. The Bible doesn't lie. You will be satisfied. I've had a couple instances lately. I'm kind of good at contentment, not to say, hey, I'm bragging. I usually up here is a place where I can use myself as a bad example, but contentment for me comes kind of easy, and there's a couple times in my life where it was just funny to me. My wife and I thought, you know what? We're kind of football people, like Super Bowl. Yeah, we'll watch it. Or we'll go to a party or whatever, but it wasn't like the biggest thing. But one year we thought, let's just throw a Super Bowl party. We have some friends we want to invite, a couple we want to get know a little bit better, so let's just invite a bunch of people over. So it was more probably for the, you know, wrong reasons. It wasn't loving NFL. I don't remember who played. So we have people over. They come to our house. This is when we live right behind here on 12th Street. Get everybody in. You know, Jess just has this food everywhere. And it's just fantastic. And everyone sits down. And we have this little, if you've been in our place, we've had the same thing for many years, a little armoire. And it's only so big. And we have in this thing a 36-inch TV. Now, they measure TVs corner to corner. So 36 is probably, you know, 29. Didn't think a thing of it. We get in there. I might be telling, I can't remember if it was Chad, but someone looked at this and said, that's your TV. And we're like, oh yeah, well, what's the big deal? You put together a Super Bowl party and that's your TV. I have a 60 inch at home. I came here, I'm gonna watch it on this little phone of a TV. It probably was you. But it didn't even, and we're both the same when it comes to marriage. We couldn't give a rip less. We've had this, matter of fact, that TV, we had a smaller one. But we went on a missions trip. We asked our in-laws to come over and watch our kids. They walk in the house, they look at this TV and think, how long is this mission trip? Well, it's about 7 days. We can't watch this TV for 7 days. Our in-laws bought us a 36-inch TV. We're thinking about having them come over in the next couple of years and watch the kids again just so we can get a bigger TV out of the deal. But it simply means nothing to us. We sit down and we don't notice, you know, that this, we're just very content with what we have. My truck, I love my truck. It's an 07 Tundra. I've had it brand new, and it's been a phenomenal truck, but lately it's had a couple problems. It's going to cost me a fair amount of money. My transmission has decided I want to take off in fourth gear. I don't need the first three. And so I can drive it, but it's just not quite doing the job. You know, if you want to pull something, it's just, and so I've made some calls. I'm having some issues getting, you know, parts in and all that, but that's going to cost fair amount of money. And then I had a brake issue that I couldn't find, took it to another place, they couldn't find it. And so I'm having those two issues. And a friend of mine at work said, Matt, just buy another truck. You've had that thing for 15 years, buy another truck. You know what, just a base model, if I go out and just buy my truck now, what it's gonna cost? $55,000. That hurts me. $55,000, and that's just a base model run-of-the-mill truck. I'm thinking, yeah, it does more than my, but I love my, but I'm perfectly, if I can just get these couple things, maybe $2,000 or $3,000, get this fixed, I still have a good truck. And so, in a way, contentment, it just saves you from having to have. And so when I said that, man, I'll just fix mine, it'll be fine. Yeah, but you know what these new ones have? Man, these motors have this much horse. It's got a five cylinder, but yet they put a turbo on it, so you're getting a gas mileage, and you're getting a horsepower. And man, it's got this, and the windows and little side things come out. You can step on it. It's amazing. It's got all this technology. But I've learned to be content with what I have. And so, by that contentment, I'm going to save myself. Now, granted, if you go out and buy a new car, good for you. It's probably going into the shop less than mine has lately. But there is a level where we have to have, not just in this area, but all these different areas. And it has put us in financial dire straits. Or even if we're wealthy, it's put us in a place where we're learning that I can always get what I want. But wait a second, it isn't producing the happiness that I thought it would. Because our foundation is off. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And you will what? You will be satisfied. That thing that we're trying to get through money and finances, it's not going to satisfy you long term. This relationship with God is going to satisfy you because you're going to see how it's, not only how it's, as you think and feel, but what you produce out of that. Who here has friends, or maybe it's you, that you love talking about all the stuff that you bought, and it's exciting, and I got this and I got that. And I'm listening to some of these people, it's like, you know, a month or two later, they're not talking about that anymore. It didn't satisfy them. But this relationship with God will fill our hearts with contentment. I found this saying from Martin Luther. I just love this man. I tell you, anyone ever watched the movie? Was it just called Luther? I think it was 2003. And basically, long story short, but just the man that was, you know, studying to be a Catholic priest and just realized some things that were off, and he wanted to put the Word of God in people's hands so they could have that relationship for themselves. And so he says this, listen to this. I have held many things in my hands and have lost them all. But whatever I have placed in God's hands, that I still possess. That is so powerful. If you read into this, whatever I have placed in God's hands, if you place your very life, your very desires, your very dreams in the hands of God and say, Father, here it is. You know what I want to do. You know what I want to be. You know how much money I even want to make. But God, first, I am your disciple. I am yours. May I please you over pleasing myself. If you back up, the first part is so true. I have held many things in my hands and have lost them all. It's that desire to please God is going to build a foundation that's going to allow us to find a level of contentment. Or we're not in this rat race buying stuff. It'll help relationships from you to God, you and your husband, your wife, to your kids, to your friends. Your life will be an example. I've had many people at work tease me. Actually, it's my dad's fault. But Dad and I worked together for a lot of years at the dairy, and Dad likes nice stuff, and so they just started calling him Mr. Moneybags, and is Dad in here? And security, okay. And it was a big joke on how many cans he had, coffee cans he had in the backyard with money in them that he dug. I mean, it was, so he retired, and I thought that would stop, but that just transferred over to me. Oh, yeah, Matt, you got money, you could do it. And I'm like, I look at some of these guys, what about me says that I have money? My truck has 140,000 miles on it. I mean, I live in a almost 100-year-old home. I mean, I am very blessed, but what about? And so basically, they just look at my life. You know what I think they see? They see contentment. They can't really pick out all these, you know, million-dollar things I own, but they see someone who is happy, who spreads joy, who loves people. And they desire that, but they're not finding it in the way of the world, in the way of possessions, in the way of finance, and just trying to get what they want, what they have. But to find contentment through God, I have placed, whatever I have placed in God's hands, that I still possess. So what I want for us to comprehend in all of this, if you're going through anything dire straight-wise when it comes to finances, where is your level of contentment? Where is your relationship with God? Not to say, oh, I'm not content, so I don't have a relationship with God, but where is your foundation? Because that verse has to be true, Matthew 5, 6. I should know it, sure. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Just begin to hunger and thirst. God, what do you have for me? Be in his word. Have open ears. Be in prayer. Go in the direction that he leads you. It may be spending money, you know, on other people that's going to bring you contentment. Or you may just be very a person that has just said, God, I'm going to do whatever you do, and he may blow you out with wealth. Who knows? It's not really about a money thing. It's about where your heart's at. I just heard that the lottery has reached, is it true, into the billions now? You know why that keeps growing? A whole lot of people are putting a whole lot of money hoping for that one ticket. And then they're going to be happy for the rest of their lives. I'm telling you, do a study on people that have won the lottery and take a look at their lives. Bankruptcy, divorce, poverty, it's depressing. The answer is not in money. That's not the foundation. The foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's pray together. Lord God, may you, maybe an odd financial talk, but may you help us understand the power of content, of resting and being your child, being adopted by you, receiving your inheritance of eternal life, and realizing that this earth, yes, it's a place where you have asked us to live, but you've asked us to live for you, not for ourselves. So for those of us who struggle, maybe all of us at some time or another, just to find that joy and stuff, may we just slow down, take a look at a relationship, and just begin to work on that. Realizing that no matter what happens, no matter how much money is in my account, I have you in my heart, and I am full of hope. Because Jesus, when you were murdered on that cross and placed in that tomb, you didn't stay there. We serve a God of the supernatural. We serve a Savior that was raised from the dead, who died for our sins. We serve someone who had a bigger plan of complete and ultimate happiness, free from the penalties of sin and depression and anxiety. So God, may we live towards that. May we work towards commitment, not financial security. Open our eyes, open our hearts to see the people around us and just begin to bless them with the knowledge and the heart that we have through you. And watch us find happiness through their happiness. God, have your way and will in our lives. May we take this message and apply it, we pray in this. In your name and your name only, amen.